I wonder if I asked you the question, what do you want to do with your life? What your answer would be. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be with your life? What would you like to be giving thanks for at the end of your days? How do you want to spend your life? And sometimes we only ask that question of our children, our young people. We look at them and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do with yourself? But it's not just a question for our children, our young people. It's a question for all of us. What do you want to do with the life that you have? What do you want to be in that life? What do you want to achieve in it? What do you want to become? And so often we just sail through life without even beginning to think about any of those questions. And if we were to go around everybody this morning, there would be 101 different answers as to what you want to be, do, achieve, fill your life with. Lots of answers, lots of great answers, lots of important things. But there's one thing for all of us which remains the same. And it goes back to that prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17. Remember, Jesus prays for us. I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact we believe that Jesus has risen again and has ascended us in heaven, and somehow in our heads we think he's just sitting by waiting for the time when he will return. But the Bible here in Hebrews says that Jesus is always lives to intercede for you. Jesus is praying for you. And one of the things that he prays for you is, again, this high priestly prayer in John 17 is simply this: sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. So one of the things that Jesus prays for all of us that we will all become, that we will all do, is to be sanctified. And it's a big word, but it simply means to become more and more like Jesus. So even though we may have 101 different ideas about what we want to do or be or achieve in our lives, there is this one overarching goal: to be sanctified, to become more like Jesus. And it doesn't really matter what else you do, because that sanctification, that becoming Christ-like, will work its way out, whatever it is you're doing. Whether you're in the home or an office or a school or wherever you may be, being Christ-like is what you're called to be and to do. And so Jesus simply prays to his heavenly Father, sanctify them, make them like me. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. A couple of things in this little verse that we need to remember. One is simply this: God uses the Bible to transform us. Often we think about the Bible as being something that we need to memorize, something that we need to fill our heads with. And it's as though we're facing questions, we're facing some sort of exam, and we hope we have all the right information stored away and we can simply trot it out. That's not being transformed. God wants to use the Bible to transform us. Your word is truth, to transform us. God's word is truth. So we're not aimlessly clutching at straws wherever they may come from, and all the different philosophies we find around us in public opinion, which sways one way and then the other, in all of the whims and fads of our societies. We're not clutching at different straws. God has simply given us his truth in his word. Not just to fill up the memory cells in our heads, but to transform us. That's the first thing. God's word transforms us. And then God is at work to transform us. God doesn't simply say, look, here's my word, I want you to go off somewhere, read it, and get your life pulled together. Thankfully, God has never left us to do that. God has taken the initiative from start to finish in our salvation. It's God who justifies us. He's the one who forgives us in Jesus. He's the one who gives us a right standing before him. He does it. He's the one who sanctifies us, who makes us more and more like Jesus. He's the one who will glorify you when Jesus comes again. We are entirely dependent upon God. God transforms us through his word. Not us. It's not to do with me and that my understanding, thankfully. It's to do with God and his desire to see you become more and more like Jesus. So Jesus asks the Father to sanctify you, to make you like him. And he does this through his word. Robin, just a few minutes ago, read for us this lovely passage from 2 Timothy, which has this great verse tucked into it, which tells us what the Bible is. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training for righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's God-breathed. It's God's active involvement in the writing of the scriptures. That's why we talk about God's word. God is actively involved here. And it's lovely. The Bible doesn't just say that scripture is given to us so that we may be equipped. We're thoroughly equipped, completely equipped, as we are taught, rebuked, corrected, trained. That's what God's word is about. So here's the challenge. I think every home in our congregation will have at least one Bible. It's amazing the number of Bibles we have, and yet we look at other countries around the world where they would just love even to have one Bible in a village, where little scraps of the Bible are held onto and treasured because that's all they have. We have so much that is so available to us that, well, we've almost begun to ignore it. We need to spend time with God's word. It's important that we actually read the Bible. If you go to your doctor and the doctor prescribes medication for you, which will make you better, improve your health, it only does so if you take it. If you bring the medication home, set it on the shelf and look at it every so often and maybe dust it off and are happy that it's there, it's not going to do you much good. Similarly with the word of God. If we simply keep it on a shelf, in a drawer, even on our bedside lockers, it doesn't do us much good. We need to read it. And even then, it's not just reading so that we can tick off another chapter. I've read that chapter, I've read that chapter. It's not just ticking off. Although it's important that we do read large chunks of scripture at times. Sometimes we read one verse or one small passage of scripture, and that's good, and we study it and we look at it in detail. But sometimes it's good to read a large chunk, a chapter, even a whole book at a time, because then we pick up themes that we would miss otherwise. The New Testament letters were letters written to churches just like us. People who were struggling to work out what it meant to follow Jesus, people who were wondering what it meant to be more Christ-like, and these letters are written to be read all at one go. So there is value in reading large chunks of Scripture, but not simply to tick them off and say, well, I've done that. We read, and as we read, we ask the Holy Spirit to use God's word to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to train us, so that we may be equipped to serve God where he's placed us. We do need to read more. We need to spend time with God's word, but not just as an academic exercise, not just as being able to say, well, I read the Bible last year. The important question is, did we hear God speak to us through his word? Did the Holy Spirit speak to us as we read? How are we being taught, corrected, rebuked, trained. Because that's what God's word does for us. And that process never, ever comes to an end. In this life, there will never be a graduation ceremony where you will say, I've done the Bible, I've got there, I've finished with that. Because we all know that we're a work in progress. If we're to become more and more like Jesus, boy, is there work to do in our lives. It's a process that never comes to an end. And we need to be careful that we compare ourselves with Jesus and not with other people. When we start to compare ourselves with other people, we either think, hey, I'm getting this, I'm doing really well, or we're down in the pits where we think, I will never become like Jesus. Because we compare ourselves with each other, we need to compare ourselves with Jesus. When we do that, we realize not only have we fallen short of God's standards, but we realize too that in Jesus, God has given us grace that is sufficient. Not to crush us, not to put us down, but to lift us up and encourage us. There is still plenty of work to do on us. As we read through Scripture, there are different questions we can ask ourselves. You and I know ourselves. So as we read through Scripture, maybe we can make some of these comments. Here is where I need more of your transforming grace in my life. Lord, as I look at my life, this is where I'm weak. This is where I am so unlike you. This is where I need more of your transforming grace in my life, Lord. And we read and we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to train us. And his transforming grace is at work. Lord, these are the people whom I struggle to love. And we all have them. People that we know we should love, but for whatever reason, we just struggle with it. Lord, help me to be Christ-like in my relationships, especially with these people, Lord. Lord, you know the temptations I face. Lord, help me to be Christ-like in the face of those temptations. And there are many more questions like that, many more prayers that we can ask as we read through Scripture, asking that God will transform us. But these are things that we know about ourselves. These are the rough edges of our lives that we know about. These are the big areas that we can see in ourselves and other people can see in us. But there are areas of our lives too that only God knows. Nothing hidden from Him. And so we need to ask too that God, by His Holy Spirit, will point out those areas of our lives, highlight them for us, and lead us into Scripture that we may be taught, corrected, rebuked, and trained, and transformed to become more like Jesus. So we need to start asking these questions of ourselves. We need to start bringing these issues to our reading of God's word. We need to start inviting the Holy Spirit to transform us as we read through His word. And then we become more and more like Jesus. Can you imagine the impact of a community of people whose greatest desire is that they become like Jesus, whose daily prayer is, Lord, whatever it is that needs to be changed in me, transformed in me, please do it through your word, by your spirit. Imagine the impact in our homes, in our workplaces, the places where we gather to relax and to play. Imagine the difference in our communities. Imagine the difference in our province, in our nation. Because we hear Jesus praying, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. And we respond to it. Written on our bulletin every week, written on our headed note paper, is our mission statement here in Ballywillan. To know Christ and then lovingly to make him known. As we become more and more like Jesus, as we know him more, we grow to love him more, we allow him to work in us more. And as he changes us, as he transforms us to be more like him, then we can't help but make him known. As you become more Christ-like in your home, your family around you will notice. Your workmates will notice. Your friends, your neighbors, people around you will notice. And they notice Jesus in you. And we can't help but make him known, simply because we have become more and more like him. There are many things that God will do in your life and through your life, but here's the greatest. He will transform you to be like Jesus. Are you up for a challenge? I'm not challenging you simply to read through the Bible. I'm challenging you to read the Bible and ask God by his Holy Spirit to change you, transform you, to make you more like Jesus. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.